Welcome to Truth Well Spoken, the official podcast for McCann Health New Jersey, and an opportunity to connect across disciplines, companies, and countries in our mutual pursuit of endless truth seeking. I'm your guest host today, Natalie Mercer, and in this episode, the podcast team is coming together to assess, analyze, dissect, and discuss this past year's Super Bowl 58 advertisements. As we know, the Super Bowl isn't only a championship game for the NFL, but it's also the biggest day in advertising. Brands are targeting big budget commercials at an expected audience of more than 100 million viewers. And in fact, this past year, there were 123 million viewers that tuned in. And in 2024, a 30-second Super Bowl ad cost $7 million. And that's not even including the cost of making the ad or paying celebrities. That's just airing it. So to start us off, I'd like to do a quick round of introductions. So everyone on the podcast team, if you could please introduce yourselves and share how sports impacts your life.
Hey, everyone. I'm Dina Rowe. I've been at McCann in the copy department for a little over 7 years now. And sports did play a role in my life when I was younger. I played softball for about 10 years, catcher and left field. And my dad was the coach of a couple of my teams for a while. So it's definitely a way that we bonded. And I grew up watching like the Yankees and the Giants in football. It taught me how to play competitively as an individual and part of a team. A lot of great memories during that.
Yeah, I can jump in. I'm Kendall Coletti. I've been in the strategy department here at McCann for about 2 years now. I did play soccer for a good amount of time when I was younger, but also my family is a big football family, college and NFL. And so I grew up having lots of football parties and watching the games, and I would wear little cheerleader outfits for the different teams that we were supporting. So I just remember kind of that coming together of family and friends to watch football, and especially the Super Bowl. So definitely more of an aspect of togetherness.
And I'm Jay Brinkowski. I'm Associate Director of User Experience at McCann Health New Jersey. I've been here, well, this is my 14th year. As far as sports go, I'm a huge New York Knicks fan. I watch football casually. I'm also a father of a couple of athletes. Well, one former athlete and one aspiring professional athlete. My son, Mikey, is involved in an elite soccer club in New Jersey. So it's important.
Wow. Well, thanks for joining, everyone. I want to just open it up to the group here. What are some themes that you notice when you think holistically about all the ads that were served to you?
Well, just like every year, but I think this year in particular, there were a lot of celebrity cameos, some that were funny, some that were a little more emotional, but I think almost every ad had a celebrity of some sort in it.
Some of them really dialed it up and just threw in celebrities at random and multiples of them. And you had us wondering, what in the heck are they even doing in this commercial? I'm not even sure. Mm-hmm. They were all over the place for sure.
I feel like when I'm thinking about them generally, aside from those celebrities, it just feels like there's a lot of money. Things were big and splashy and vibrant. There was alien invasions and like CGI. And things were just almost like surreal in a lot of it. And I guess that kind of makes sense that they need to make things big and memorable to cut through just the sheer amount of money and budget and star power that's going into these ads.
Yeah, it feels like everyone's just trying to one-up each other, each brand. You have Jennifer Aniston in your ad. Oh, well, you need Arnold Schwarzenegger in this one. And it almost feels like some of them aren't really as authentic. The pairings, where does that come from? What do you think about that?
Some of it's probably the TikTok generation where they were just grabbing famous people for the sake of recognition, for the sake of people who are watching who are not necessarily watching the game to watch the game. They're literally there just to be with family and friends. It's almost like a banner ad where you're just trying to grab someone's attention away from what they're currently paying attention to so that you can then hook them into what you're trying to tell them.
Yeah, that's a great point, Jay. I was going to say they remind me almost of reminder style ads. We're already in an arena, let's say, that the cost of entry is so high. So you're not really getting a lot of small businesses, right? These are big companies that you probably already know. And when you're thinking about the ads, oftentimes the takeaway message is hardly what the product is. It's more just, yeah, we want you to remember our product name when you need to buy this product. We want you to remember this ad amongst all the other things. So I guess it is just trying to capture your attention so that you could buy into their message later on.
which I think makes sense for the Super Bowl, right? Because think about where people are watching it. It's either you're at someone's house, it's loud, there's a ton of people talking, or you're at a sports bar or something like that, and there's a lot of noise. And so I feel like the ads have to have either a celebrity or a lot of money, be flashy, be very visually appealing, and to actually capture everybody's attention when there's a lot going on. But I think it's really the excitement of you see someone you recognize on the TV, you see a celebrity that you like, or you see them doing something funny or whatever it is, whether it really has to do with the brand or not.
I think you also see a lot of brands that are trying to go viral. They're trying to have that funny moment or something, you know, like that celebrity saying something clever maybe, or whatever, that moment that's going to go on TikTok everywhere. And some of them do, like some of them are great. And then some of them, I appreciate the trying, right? It's better to have a whiff that's talked about. I mean, that kind of brings up the idea of, is there such a thing as bad publicity? But is it that people are laughing with you or at you at a certain point too?
I think you mentioned this, Dina, but it's less about the product, the quality of it, and it's more about the brand. And people are going to take away, oh, Dunkin' Donuts commercial was so funny, or CeraVe, kind of random. I get Michael Cera was the celebrity that was featured, but it's almost like you're rating the brand and how well the job that they did at making you laugh or making you feel something.
I remember those ads, but I don't even know what CeraVe is, and I don't remember what it is, which is interesting.
Does anyone know?
Yeah, it's a skincare brand.
Well, they got us talking about it, so I guess success for them.
What else? What were some other themes or takeaways that you noticed when you think about this past year Super Bowl ads?
In general, I would definitely say it was the celebrities that had it. There was this synergy with a couple of them that were using the moment to line up with their own individual brands, which is kind of interesting because I guess celebrities have their own brand, right? Like they are their own product in a way. And so some of them were almost like collabs, not just a brand cameo, but a brand collaboration between a celebrity and a brand that were leading up to a certain point, like music or stuff like that, which is really, I guess, pretty smart, like strategically. But as long as that brand of the celebrity makes sense for the brand of whatever that traditional product was.
Let's talk about some of those. Because I know Beyonce and Verizon, Ben Affleck and Dunkin' Donuts, but it was also what, Matt Damon, Jennifer Lopez, Tom Brady, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Danny DeVito for State Farm, a host of different celebrities for Uber Eats. What can we take away about some of those pairings?
I think the Beyonce one speaks to what you were just saying, Dina, kind of that like promoting both, promoting, you know, Beyonce's new album as well as Verizon itself. And it's kind of interesting. I think that was one that did kind of make sense. They made it make sense. It didn't feel super random. But then there's the ones like the Uber Eats was funny. I understand the concept, but it was kind of just an excuse to get a whole bunch of different celebrities into one shot.
Yeah, I agree. The Beyonce for Verizon made sense to me because there's the idea of breaking the internet with a viral moment. And who could do that better than Beyonce? But that actually makes sense because what Verizon is offering you is a connection to the internet that is unbreakable, that even Beyonce couldn't break it. I mean, I know like we're going to analyze these ads more than a layperson, but that to me makes sense strategically. It's striking a humorous kind of tone. It's the megastar Beyonce. It led up to new music. Yes, they have the money to do all of that and then also continue airing the ads afterwards. So like we're still talking about it. We're still seeing it. But that to me made sense. Like it wasn't just a cameo or a celebrity for celebrity's sake. It made sense strategically.
Yeah, both for Verizon and for her brand specifically. It was great.
I mean, I know for me personally, we were watching with friends and after the halftime show, drove home, which is about like a 10-minute drive. My boyfriend was checking the score on X, but actually it was all about Beyonce. He's like, oh, Beyonce had an ad. Like, that's what X was filled with.
I mean, I will say as a copywriter with appreciation for words, I do like the Michael Cera for CeraVe, just like the name and the connection. Like that's basically all the idea was. It's memorable. It's funny. Sometimes that's all you need to do. It's funny, Jay. I think that you knew about the ad, but you didn't necessarily know what it was a product for. So like that's sometimes the challenge that you get with like a fun creative idea. You get part way there with the cool creative, but you don't necessarily drive home what the product is. But what I also liked about what they did creatively was they teased the ad ahead of time. I saw some picture on Instagram or something like that of Michael Cera with a grocery bag full of just CeraVe products. There was like a rumor going around that, oh, is Michael Cera the secret owner of CeraVe? Like, is that really his brand? And it was like a quick viral moment ahead of time. And then it was paid off with this ad where he's pitching them. I love that creativity because I think it seemed pretty authentic. It caught on. He was just walking around in paparazzi shots, maybe went viral or something like that. So I appreciate the creativity there. Even if the strategy wasn't completely foolproof, there's just the word and the name, but it was executed very well, I think.
And I'm not the target audience for that, for sure. Forgetting is probably okay for me.
I think that whole idea is becoming a lot more popular too. That's been a trend with this past Super Bowl and a few before it as well, kind of teasing the ads ahead of time, which I think is very interesting. Like the David and Victoria Beckham having kind of those ads going around where they forget what they're doing an ad for, not remembering that it's Super Bowl, not remembering what it's for. So, and it kind of builds that excitement of, oh, I saw them tease the Uber Eats ad, I can't wait to see it, or kind of builds that excitement ahead of time and makes you anticipate it more.
Mm-hmm. Were there any ads that made you laugh out loud that were that funny?
I laughed at the Dunkin's because I like when people are comfortable looking stupid. Or, you know, like there's a certain confidence that you have to wear pink colored glasses and bright orange pink jumpsuits. And I loved it. So I think that one probably made me laugh. And I thought that also strategically made sense. It felt authentic because I feel like I've seen a meme of Ben Affleck that's just like tired Ben. The guy just looks like he needs a coffee and a nap. But often the coffee he has with him is Dunkin' Donuts. So that to me made sense. And also just like J-Lo being embarrassed of her husband felt like a relatable moment between celebrities. Like, oh yeah, they're recording in a studio in a lifestyle that few of us can understand. But that moment of being embarrassed by your loved ones, and they mean well, I love that. Felt like an authentic connection. So I did laugh at that one. I appreciate that one a bit too.
Yeah, I agree. Dunkin' was a great one. I also actually liked the BMW ad with Christopher Walken. That one strung me along for a bit where I was not quite understanding what it was an ad for. It was just different celebrities or people imitating Christopher Walken's iconic voice, which was funny in itself. And then at the end, you find out it's an ad for BMW because the whole idea of you can't imitate it, or you can try, but you'll never be it. So I thought it was interesting. I thought that one actually did make me laugh quite a bit in the beginning. So that was a great one.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked the Reese's commercial, especially as the teaser, because you don't know what the big change is or the big news. But I just loved that they had that slow motion and those expressions. It was more slapstick humor, but I got a kick out of it. And then the big reveal at the big game is that Reese's has caramel now.
Anyone tried that? I have not tried that.
I don't think I have, actually.
I have not. I do love Reese's, though, so I'm excited to try it.
Thanks for reminding me, though. Next time I go to a grocery store, I'm going to look out for it.
Well, that reminds me, though, Kendall, I mean, the Christopher Walken one particularly, I was in the same boat with you where I wasn't sure why, and I was also just being critical, and then they paid it off at the end. But it reminds me that this is a U.S.-based event, right? Like, the Christopher Walken impressions and whatnot, like, I don't know if that would track globally, but that's such a common American thing. If you're going to do an impression, everyone has like a bad Christopher Walken impression, but you need to know that to really get it. A global audience wouldn't necessarily, I don't know, maybe I'm underestimating, but I feel like that's something I just had to remind myself, is that these are very US-based insights and jokes and for a US audience.
And that's a great point that we have to keep in mind, that this is really an opportunity for these big brands to come out with these campaigns that are just solely focused on the U.S. and trends and things going on specifically within that market. Because you're right, a lot of these definitely would not translate in any other countries.
There was an ad, I think it was called Pickle Babies, and it was all about pickleball, which is, I believe, the fastest growing sport in America. I'm not sure if it's as popular outside of the United States, but I got a kick out of that one. I also really loved the Hellman's mayonnaise commercial.
Has the mayo, man.
The cat.
The cat, yeah.
Yo.
Always appreciate a cat.
What is that, Kate McKinnon, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anything with her is phenomenal. She's hilarious. Mm-hmm.
And the quick cameo from Pete Davidson, they kind of teased at his dating life as well.
Yeah, that was a good one. I also enjoyed the Pringles one with Chris Pratt, where it was a bunch of people kind of saying that he looks like the guy on the Pringles can. Mm-hmm. And he had the mustache, and that was a pretty funny one. I liked that.
That was so weird, though, because he doesn't.
I know, which is so odd. It like almost doesn't make any sense, but they kind of make it make sense, oddly.
Right. All right, let's tackle the next topic head on. Do you like my football pun there?
Yeah.
Great.
I get it.
So I want to talk a little bit about emotion, advertising, and athletics. Emotion is a central part of sporting events. I think it's not only athletes who are competing, but it's people who are tuning in, supporters, fans. They're going to experience many emotions throughout the game. You know, if your team is ahead, you might feel joy, a little bit of relief. If you're being completely crushed, you know, sadness and anger, people yelling at the TV. It's interesting that, you know, there is a New England Journal of Medicine publication that came out around cardiovascular events during World Cup soccer. And what they found is that viewing a stressful soccer match more than doubles the risk of an acute cardiovascular event. So I want to open it up. What do people think about that?
That's crazy. Is that the real stat?
Yeah. I mean, it's from a 2008 publication.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think people got less stressed watching sports over the last 14 years or whatever. That's crazy, just the fact that it gets you so hyped up that you're literally having physical anxiety to the point where it's causing you cardiac stress. Jeez.
Yeah, it's crazy. It taps into a belief system of people, right? There's a sense of loyalty to teams, right? And you do feel personally invested. And it's funny, like the way that people will talk about teams, they'll say like, oh yeah, we just traded that player. We just won, you know, the championship the last few years. It's a we, you know, it's a collective mentality. So yeah, you're just invested in it just as if it were yourself.
I wonder if any of it's got to do with the fact that they're watching a stressful sporting event while also downing corn dogs.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Alcohol may be included as well. You might be more susceptible to certain emotions. But were there any ads that you felt connected to on an emotional level or left you feeling a certain way?
Yeah, let me jump in on this one. So my daughter is now 17 and she was an athlete until she was about 13. And Dove had an ad, I guess it's called Hard Knocks. And they used the song from the musical Annie, which also happens to be my daughter's real name. And their whole point was that a lot of girls quit sports because of body image when they hit 13 years. And I never put it together, really. I kind of knew some things were kind of off back in the time when she was a younger teen. And when that commercial came on and I was intently watching it and they set it up that girls were, you know, doing all these things and then all of a sudden they weren't anymore. And then they put that stat up about, I don't remember the specific stat, but it was like lots of girls quit because of body image. And then they put on what they were getting at was that they were investing in some kind of program where they help girls with their body image. It was an altruistic thing that Dove was doing. And honestly, I had to get up. I had to use the bathroom. I didn't actually have to go. I just had to take a moment to soak that all in. And that particular ad has stuck with me more than any of the other Super Bowl ads, probably ever, to be honest. It's probably because it struck a chord specifically, but at the same time, it's an effective advertisement. And it makes me think, honestly, if I'm at the store and I'm looking for body wash to pick up for my wife, I'm going to skip over Caress and go straight to Dove or whatever. It definitely puts them in a very positive light for me as a father.
Yeah, I definitely feel like Dove knows how to really find or uncover that real insight and strike a chord with people.
Jay, I love hearing that resonated with you, though. I mean, like, when I see it, it's such a different experience. I was lucky coming up in softball. Appearance didn't really keep me down, so I didn't have that personal experience, but I understand how that can happen in, like, other sports, gymnastics or swimming and stuff like that. But
I can resonate with that experience of being a woman and like feeling self-conscious about our appearance just in general and like having to show up, you know, functionally at work or at school in some type of way, but also being aware of your appearance. So I resonate with that commercial as being who it's about. But what's great about hearing you talk about it is that you were the intended audience. You were the father, like knowing that that ad is airing during the Super Bowl where it's going to be primarily men. I want, I don't know, 18 to 50s. I don't know what the brand demos are. But it's great to hear that something like that could resonate with you when it's about something that resonates with me so that it can reach a variety of audiences. But then even more than that, it's talking not just about like a soap or a body wash, right? It has nothing to do with that. And it's all about what the brand and those products are trying to achieve. And they're trying to support femininity and embrace womanhood and support women and empower women with how you can feel using their products. I love the idea that a product or a brand can stand for more than just what it's selling and more about what it can provide beyond that.
Yeah, I'd love to see statistics around the bump in sales from any of the Super Bowl ads. Did they succeed?
Mm-hmm.
How much did they succeed? I don't know where we'd find that information, but it would be really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it definitely would. I think that ad was amazing, especially because it's not a super unique experience, yet it's not something that's necessarily shed light on. And so I think it was a great way to kind of showcase that to people that understand it or that might not understand it. Another one that I really liked was the Disney Plus one. They really just kind of honed in on nostalgia, where it was very simple. It was just a text ad. There was nothing fancy. It just had the most popular common taglines that everyone remembers from their movies, ending with "to infinity and beyond." And I think that was really well done. I've continued to see that come up actually just all around where I've seen it at bus stops, the bus stop ads. I've seen billboards where it just has a single tagline and then Disney Plus in the bottom right corner. And I think that was very simple and it really kind of tugged at the heartstrings in a way where it just kind of has you remember watching those movies as a kid and feelings and emotions it evoked when you first heard that line.
I don't know if I saw that ad, but it's reminding me of a movie theater I was in once. I'm not sure if it was a chain, but the movie theater itself had a bunch of famous lines all around the walls in big font and different styles and stuff. It just reminded you of these iconic moments and where you were when you saw it or how old you were and like what mindset you were in and how it made you feel. So I can imagine what that ad was like, because what's cool is like you just need the lines. You don't need a lot of visual. Like the line itself is enough because you kind of conjure the rest in your head. I can imagine it without even having seen it.
Right.
They don't exactly have to worry about regulatory submissions for those because that's all approved copy.
Yeah, right. One of the other ads that stuck out to me based on like the emotions that it made me feel or experience was the Google Pixel. What's funny is like we're recording this a little while out from the Super Bowl, but this one stuck with me in that it was emotional, it was beautiful, it was simple, and it was also inclusive. Unfortunately, I can't remember what ocular disease it was involving, but it was about the limitations of someone's sight and still being able to capture a photo with an audio-directed framing. I loved that it's showing how technology can be inclusive of that human experience, you know, the insights of just wanting to capture these key moments in people's life. The one thing I will say about that ad, though, is I wish it went just one step further in showing how it's really completely solving the problem, because it's great that we can capture the picture. But if someone is struggling with their sight, how can they appreciate the photo after they've captured it? You know, like I feel like there was only one half of the problem solved there. But I love that it's showing how science and empathy can be combined in a beautiful, simplistic approach.
Yeah, I felt the same way about that one. I thought it was great, but also I was like hanging at the end of it. Come on. Mm-hmm. You're close.
Mm-hmm.
Literally after it, I turned to my wife and I was like, "And he see the photo now? I don't understand what's happening."
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's just the point. He's just able to take the photo and know with confidence that he can show it to somebody who can see and they can appreciate it.
That's fair.
Well, it's cool about that. And it reminds me, like Jay, of what you were saying about when you go to buy a product, maybe you'll skip over one and go to the other. Is that for Google, even if it's not completely solving that problem, one, it's still taking steps towards it. But two, it's also showing Google as a company that has these values. And so regardless of what technology it might be offering, it is making strides in including people that have different challenges than maybe the average human. And it's proud of these efforts. You know, it's showcasing them. It's also interesting, not only as a consumer when you're weighing which phone to buy, but also as maybe a future employee. That is a brand that someone might be proud to work for, right? You know, because they're showing where their values are and where they're willing to put their efforts towards. And that might attract a certain type of people that are interested in combining science and empathy in that way and that have a similar vision. I like that it speaks to a lot of different things.
In addition to the influx of celebrities, the ads that made us feel something and brought some emotion, humor, there also were quite a few ads that I felt really were speaking to either like a religious belief or some that were almost tilted to politics. I think there were a few pharmaceutical ads.
I appreciate like any moment where the pharmaceutical industry in general tries to communicate with the general public because it's necessary. And it's a shame that there is the perception of pharmaceuticals in general. But I think taking the opportunity like the Super Bowl to communicate with people is better than nothing, right? I don't want to mention any like specific brands, but I do like the communications that I saw because I think the tone that it took was exciting and positive. And it wasn't the typical like dour, heavy avenue that it could have been. And that's not to say that the emotional kind of more serious approach is invalid. It has its place, but it was refreshing, at least for me as someone who's pretty steeped into the pharmaceutical, just communications in general, to see positive, exciting. I think the song was like Rocket Man or something like that. There was momentum to the ad that I saw in outdoing cancer. And it felt like a movement that you would want to be a part of.
It was like they took medical science and made that the hero.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For the sake of humanity. We're out here as a pharma company doing things for you to help improve the outcomes of disease, which I thought was a very nice spin on it, as opposed to an ad that typically has a zillion disclaimers about adverse events and things like that.
Yeah, that's exactly it, Jay. It's like people's familiarity with pharmaceutical companies is typically through a branded DTC ad where they're trying to sell a specific product for a specific disease and they have specific ISI, AEs or whatever that they have to communicate. Whereas I think the ad that we're talking about was more general, just at a corporate company level and just in the favor of general human wellness, which is, you know, it's a hard idea for anybody to disagree with.
Yeah, and I think that message, medical science being the hero, is very timely, right? Because a lot of people now and as of late have maybe some misperceptions, bad perceptions of pharmaceuticals. And so I think that a message like that is kind of a reminder of the lives that are able to be saved and helped throughout the industry.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and it's really why we do this.
Exactly.
Honestly.
Well, I think that's all we got for you folks. You can subscribe to Truth Well Spoken on your podcast network of choice and let us know what you'd like to hear on a future episode by emailing podcast@mccannhealth.com. Our podcast producers are Kendall Coletti, Jay Brinkowski, Dina Rao, Natalie Mercer, and Melissa Kuczynski. Opinions expressed in today's episodes by participants are their own and do not represent MHNJ. Until next time, I'm Natalie Mercer, and this has been Truth Well Spoken.